talk about friendship. Friendships are interesting. We are living in a society. And living in a society and living on this earth makes it impossible to avoid associating with other people. No matter where you go, you're going to bump into people and build relationships. They could be good, they could be bad, but you're going to build relationships however they are. Now, God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that this was going to be a problem for us to live on this earth and not interact with people. We're going to have interaction whether we like it or not. And so he gave us some wisdom and some direction on how to deal with that in Proverbs. How to develop good relations with those around us, and also how to avoid some pitfalls, some problems that often destroy our friendships. How many have had a friendship that was a good friendship, and then it failed completely, utterly, and miserably? Yes, so four people. Well, the rest of you are incredible, or you're hermits, which is possible, but you're here, so I guess that's not possible. Today we're going to discuss friendship, but before we get into it too much, we need to understand the importance of friends. It's a touchy subject. Friendships, why is it important to have friends? I mean, sometimes you're like, is it worth all this work? I try to be a low-maintenance friend. I'm a high-maintenance person. Don't get me wrong. But I try to be a low-maintenance friend. So we need to understand the importance of that, and we'll get into this. So why is it important to have friends? Well, it's important to have friends because friends reassure each other. Do you know that type of person that you can talk to and they reassure you? They always have that calming about things, no matter what you're going through. They're not always just saying, oh, it's okay, everything's okay. But they're reassuring you. Proverbs chapter 17 talks about friends that are in good times and bad times. And it says, friends love through all kinds of weathers, and family stick together in all kinds of trouble. That's from the Message. It's a little paraphrase version of Scripture. But friends love through all kinds of weather, and family stick together in all kinds of trouble. Have you ever noticed no matter how your relationship is with a brother or a sister, with your sibling, no matter what it is, if you're in trouble and they're there, they're going to stick up for you? Even if they disagree with you and beat on you later, you know, in the day or before that you don't get along, but they'll stick together. I remember once, I have relationships with my brothers, but they can be sometimes a little bit different. And we were having a lovely family dysfunctional dinner. And as we were doing that, you know, you're at each other, and I was younger and less wise, and so I would chirp him, he'd chirp me. Now I don't chirp anybody, it's just too exhausting. And so something happened where a neighbor came over about something, and it had nothing to do with us, but it became a big event, and my brother was right by my side. Now, he was willing to go a little bit further than I was suggesting that we deal with this problem. He's got a little bit of a different way of dealing with things, but he stuck together when there was trouble. When my mom passed away, we all stuck together. And then he dispersed after that. So family sticks together. Friends love through all kinds of weather. Proverbs chapter 18, 24, it says, sometimes a friend can provide better than a brother. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We sing that song, What a Friend I Found. It talks about that he's closer than a brother, that Jesus is closer than a brother. God is closer than a brother. And so friends reassure each other. They stick by you. It's also important to have friends because friends support each other. Scripture says that good counsel can delight the heart. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Support. The Bible talks about the value of good counsel in general in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. It's funny how if you look at leadership courses nowadays, they talk about mentorship and advising and getting lots of people and all that. This is nothing new. You get a leadership guru who walks in and says, this is what you need. This is incredible. This is the newest and latest thing. You got to have plenty of people who speak into your life. You got to have mentors. You got to have all this. Well, I don't know about you, but Proverbs is pretty old. That scripture wasn't written just recently for the gurus of leadership. That was actually inspired by God saying, lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. In life, you need to have people you trust speaking into your life. Not everyone can speak into your life. Know that, because there are some people you don't want speaking into your life. But when you have many advisors, it gives you perspectives. So a good friend offers comfort or reassures you and can be trusted to provide good support and give good advice. And that is a blessing. It's something we need. You know you can't do everything on your own. Did you know that? I don't know if you didn't, but it's true. You can't do life on your own. You can be an independent person, but you can't do life on your own. First, you need God. Secondly, you need godly friends. But we must choose our friends carefully. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous choose their friends carefully. What? So when your parents were telling you, don't hang out with those specific group of people, what did you do? Made you want to go hang out with them more because mom and dad didn't want you to hang out with them, correct? But scriptures, I don't create this. This is written. The righteous choose their friends carefully. Choose your friends carefully. But the way of the wicked lead them astray, meaning that those who you hang around with will influence you to the negative. Now, when I was in high school, I did not smoke, I did not do drugs, did not drink or hang out with those that do, but I did go to the smoke hole. And I did actually talk with them. They knew I went to church, but I didn't judge them for smoking and doing whatever else they did. I hung out with them. I had friends that did that, but knew I didn't, and they respected it because they were actually good friends. They didn't leave me. I was strong enough. If you're not a strong enough person, it says very clearly that the way of the wicked will lead you astray. You need to be very careful with who you hang out with and why. You have to be very careful. You have to be strong enough. You can't have close friends, close people in your life that lead you astray, and then expect there to be positive results in your life. If you continue to hang out with that type of person, there are Christians, though, as well. We got to be careful. There are Christians. They don't necessarily lead you astray, but they're a negative influence on your life. You need to be very careful. That doesn't mean you have to be paranoid. That doesn't mean you can't associate with them. You just need to be very careful who you allow to influence you. So we know it's important to have good friends and choose them carefully. So how do we pick our friends, our close friends? Well, scripture is very clear. There are friends that you want, and there are friends that you do not want. The subject in what we are talking about here, though, is the kind of friends you pick and want as close friends. Not as people you associate with just at work or whatever. I'm talking close friends that give counsel, that are there for you, that think about you first. And you think about them first because you love them, you care for them, you want the best in their life, and they want the best in your life. There's no ulterior motives. You're not trying to get something out of them. It's very important. And we will struggle this our whole life. We will struggle. They used to say, if you have one really close, great friend, then you've done well. But as a Christian, I think we can do better than that. I think we can do better than one. I think we can be that friend. Have you ever met a person who phones and says, I've been praying for you, I've been thinking about you? That's great if they are, but be very careful if they're not. I actually... I didn't, you know, pastors, we're not perfect. We get along sometimes, and sometimes we don't. And there was a pastor years ago that every time I met him, he told me he was thinking about me and praying for me. No, you weren't. You don't like me, and I don't like you. It's okay. You don't have to tell me you're praying for me and thinking about me, because you're not. And I just called him out on that, because I was like, don't say that, because if you're not doing it, you've got a problem on your hands, a big problem. And so I called him out on it, and he wasn't. It's just something as a habit that he would always say, because that's what pastors do. Oh, I've been thinking and praying for you. I guarantee you today that if I say that to you, hey, I was thinking about you the other day, guess what? I was thinking about you the other day. If I was praying for you, I don't need to tell you that I'm praying for you. I'm not going to tell you that. Just know the people are praying for you. If you ask me to, I guarantee you I will. If God leads me to pray for you, I definitely will. But I won't tell you, hey, guess what? I was praying for you the other day. I hope you're feeling good today. Feed my ego, make me feel important. We don't need to do that. Pray. Just pray. That's all that matters. So we have to be very careful with the kind or type of friend that we pick. So the friends, let's talk about the friends you don't want, the people in your life that you don't want. Well, this is not me. This is scripture. So Proverbs 20:19 says, don't be around gossips. Gossips can make trouble in your life. Gossips are people who talk about you and talk about everything. If they come to you and tell you something about someone else, hey, did you hear about that? Then guess what? They're doing the same to you. They're spewing your dirty laundry all over the place. Be very careful. Secondly, short-tempered. Oh, that's a gooder. Proverbs 22. You can look those up. I believe in you. Those that give into excessive drinking and gluttony. I really don't need to explain that one. Liars, those untrustworthy, and those that are inconsiderate. So those that lie. And I'm not just talking about bold-faced lies. I'm talking stretching the truth to the point where there's a kernel of truth in there, but it ain't a kernel worth anything. Be very careful. And those given to violence, Proverbs 1:10-9. Don't hang out with those. It's very clear. Now, for some reason, we struggle in this area and in all these areas of picking friends that have these things. Close friends. We want relationships and we want friendships so bad that we are willing to allow ourselves to hang out with others that have these negative qualities. Why? Why do we do this? Because we want friends. There is a need inside you that needs someone to talk to. And if you can't find anyone that's trustworthy and has all the characters that you need, you'll just grab anyone. And then you wonder, why is this so difficult? Why are things taking me in a negative direction? Well, it's because you want friends, but you're picking the wrong ones. And we can do this throughout our whole life. This is what Scripture is saying. Don't have these types of people as your close friends or that type of person that you would confide in. It's not good to confide in someone who gossips. Bad news for you and everyone else. Short-tempered, excessive drinking and gluttony, that lie, they're inconsiderate, and that they're given to violence. Don't pick those types for close friends. And you say to me, well, then we can't hang out with anybody. Because, man, everybody does that. Everybody does a little bit of it. Not gonna lie, they do. We're talking about close friends. You show love, they show love. There's forgiveness, there's all that. But if they're constantly doing these things, you ought to be very careful. So you don't want those kind of friends. So what kind of friends do you want? What kind of friends do you want in your life? You want friends that display wisdom themselves. If you got somebody that's pulling a George Costanza and everything he does just isn't working, You want to do the opposite of what that person does every day. You don't want to be that person's close friend because their advice will be wrong. Because everything they choose in their life is wrong. They're going down a wrong path. Can you be a friend to them? You can be a friend to them, yes, but they can't be your close friend when it comes to you confiding and all that because they need to display wisdom. And you need to find a friend that their counsel, their teaching, what they say will help you lead in the right direction. There's also a third one. Of the friends that you want. They don't do the last five things we said don't do. They're not like that. So being with the wrong type of people can influence you poorly. 1 Corinthians 15:33 in the New Testament, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You notice they don't say that good character corrupts bad company? Because it's easier to be bad than it is to be good. They don't say that. But a friend who is good and wise is the one you want to hold on to. So we know that having friends is important. We know that we need to be wise in picking our close friends. But we also need to learn how not to lose friends. And so here's some wisdom that Proverbs discussed on keeping your friends. How can you keep your friends? Well, what do you think are some things that could upset your friends? What are some things that you know would upset your friends? I want you to take just a few seconds. I'm going to give you 10 seconds. You don't have to shout them out. That's not what we're doing. I want you to think it through. I want you to take a few seconds and figure out things that you have done that's been a bad friend. And I want you to think about what someone else has done to you that upsets you. That was being a bad friend. Just take a few seconds. I'm going to have a glass of water. Because we've all been bad friends at one point or another. Think about it. This week, I want you to take that. If you need to ask someone forgiveness for what you've done, maybe something's come, maybe some nothing has. Maybe you've been a great friend and someone's harmed you. You can still forgive them without them asking for forgiveness. So we know it's important to have good friends, but how do you pick them? We just talked about that. So how do you keep your friends? Well, there's some things in Scripture that says you can upset your friends with. And so I'm just going to go through these quickly. Friend, you can upset your friends by repeating everything that you hear from them to others. Proverbs 17:9. The verses are up there for you. Getting into senseless arguments. Guess what? This stop right here. This is the one we have the biggest problem with. We don't need to move on for a minute because we have this problem where we tend to get into arguments about silly, stupid things. Yes? Anyone who's married, have you ever argued about something really ridiculous? The wives are going, yeah, and he's going, oh, yeah. Ridiculous, and I'm not even going to give examples because Michelle is always right. That's just how I roll. Happy wife. Bingo. But I have gotten into silly arguments with her. What side of the bed to sleep on, how much space I get. I'm bigger. Therefore, percentage-wise, I get more space. Is that not logical? No. Yeah, you say no, but it's logical. If something needs more space to fit somewhere, logically, they get more space, correct? You can't fit a 6-inch ball in a 2-inch hole. I am 6'2". Therefore, and broadly across the shoulder, I might add, need more space. I have a king-size bed, thank you very much. She still thinks she gets more or equal space. No. No. These are silly arguments. I lost, but it's still logical. But we get into silly arguments. Silly arguments about the dishes. How many have argued with their kids about the dishes? Come on, don't lie. This is a battle I have every day. Why is that cup still out? That cup should be washed and put away or put in the dishwasher and turned on. Oh, I didn't have time. Really? Are you sure about that? Because, you know, I live here, I've seen things. And when there's time to be had, you're doing something else. You could have, you know, watching, you know, Netflix doesn't count. Catching up on whatever doesn't count. But I go to school. Yes, you do. Those are the arguments you'll have. They're silly. Just put the dishes away. But we'll get into these arguments, and if we take them too far, they can be silly. Have you ever gotten to an argument, by the end of it, you forgot why you were fighting? It happens to me daily. No, it doesn't daily. It's not. I don't get into that many arguments. But I have had a chance where we've been discussing something intensely with respect towards each other and lost my train of thought, as well as the subject we were discussing, as well as why I believed what I believed so passionately. It's a horrible feeling. A lawyer I will not be. So we get into silly arguments, and Scripture is very clear. Don't do that. We could go on, but we won't. Overstay your welcome. I'm not going to. Proverbs 25:17. You can read that one for yourself. Meddling in affairs that are not your own. Have you ever had a conversation? It's intense. Somebody walks up and says, well, I can give you some advice on that. And you're like, no, thank you. This doesn't concern you. People, that's going to get you into trouble. So meddling in affairs that are not your own. Someone who does bad jokes all the time, constantly. Proverbs 26:18. And I don't mean just like, that doesn't make any sense. That joke's bad. As in there's no punchline, as in no one's laughing. But I mean bad, horrible kind of whatever jokes. There is a time for certain things. I won't get into what we call dark humor in the first responder service. It does happen, but that's a process, and it's something completely psychologically different, and we don't need to get into that. But I'm talking regularly. Being a talebearer or a storyteller, someone whose stories are extremely extravagant and are basically not necessarily all 100% what happened. They're just embellished, right? And they do that all the time. It says, be careful, that's going to get you into trouble. It's not saying they're a bad person, it's saying it's going to get you into trouble. This is things that will upset your friends. Being contentious and you would say controversial or oversensitive. How many have been oversensitive with something that someone has said to you? Yes? All of a sudden, you have your hurt feelings. And sometimes it's ridiculous. And sometimes your feelings are hurt. But if we hurt other people's feelings, that's going to upset our friends. And engaging in insincere flattery. Christians like to be encouraging. And we do. But if it's insincere, if you have to struggle to say, you really look nice today, and you bite your tongue because it was so hard to say, don't say it. It's clear you don't need to say something. And I'm not saying any of you don't look nice today. I'm just saying, don't be insincere. Don't make stuff up so you can move ahead or gain some type of progress in the relationship just because of that. Don't do that. We can be encouraging. Have you ever watched American Idol, those singing competitions? No, but please. Okay, yeah. So have you ever been on there and this girl or guy is sitting there with their little guitar and they're like, oh, I just want to be a rock star forever. And, you know, people tell me I'm so good and I sing so well. And everywhere I go, people love what I do. And then they get up and sing, and it's atrocious. It's like somebody took a cat and just wringed its neck, and it's squealing, and it's like, and they're trying to sing, and it's horrible. And people have told them they sing well. So you should try out for American Idol. That is insincere flattery. It set them up, because what just happened? They went to something, and what producer isn't going to jump all over that? That's good entertainment. And we know because we've seen it. So we need to be very careful. If it's not true, don't say it. We also have to be balanced. We have to be balanced. We have to be loving and caring, but we have to be very balanced. So where do we go from here? Well, there are four things we can do that will help solve a problem. We've offended someone, we've offended a friend. How can we fix this situation? So what do we do? Firstly, don't get angry. Don't do anything in anger. What happens when you get angry? Things go sideways. There's no point. Be slow to anger, Proverbs 15, 18, and you can cross-reference that with James chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. Secondly, avoid arguing. You know those silly little arguments we just talked about? Avoid that. Get away from the arguing. You don't need to do it. It's not necessary. Silly arguments, don't argue. Proverbs 20, verse 3. Speak briefly and gently. Watch your tones. Man, tones can say a lot about how you present something. Proverbs 15:1 says, speak gently and briefly and gently. Proverbs 10:19. Remember when we talk about using our words Remember when we talk about us using our words on of the things was not to use so many. The lips of fools bring them strife, and their mouths invite a beating. That's scripture. Their mouths invite a beating. The fourth to help mend a problem is Proverbs 10:12. Hate stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrongs. You know that the angrier you get, you notice how it gets ramped up? You know how when you're in an argument and everybody's arguing, it gets ramped up? If you just calmly relax and think, this isn't worth this. This isn't worth damaging this relationship. I'm going to act in love. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to let go. I'm going to move on from this type of stuff. It covers all wrongs. You can move on. There's sometimes we need to take our friends to task, though. There are times when that needs to happen. In other words, we need to call them out on something. Now, obviously, that needs to be done in love. It needs to be done in private and without ulterior motives. You need to be very careful. And here's the thing. You need to know that you have that type of relationship with that person if you're going to call them out on something. Just because you notice it doesn't mean you're the one to do it. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you have to ask yourself the question, am I that person that can call them out and talk about it? Guess what? You're not. You're not that person. If you have to ask yourself, do we have a close enough friendship that I can do this? You're not the person. Sometimes in life, we can be the one that's not the great friend. We can be the one that has harmed someone. You see, we all want friends. We all want someone that we can rely on, that we can do the same for in return. We all want people in our lives that want the best for us and that we want the best for them. But sometimes we're on the offensive side of that. Maybe you've tried to be a friend with someone and you've been taken advantage of and you feel you get walked all over. Or maybe it's just type the friends you're picking. I don't know what it is this morning in your life. But I want you to take a good look at yourself this week and see what kind of friend you are being according to what we discussed today. There's a lot of information in there. Where could you improve on? Where in all that list could you be a better friend? I don't know where that is in your specific situation, but we could all improve and be better friends to others. But I do know that there is one friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that person is Jesus Christ. He wants to be our friend. The relationship that we have with Scripture and how we read it and where we see Jesus and how he was and what he can do in our life when we accept him. John chapter 15, 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." How about we start with him? How about we start with Jesus? How about we read about how he was and then work our way outward from there and improve ourselves that way? You start with him and you can't go wrong. And then we move forward. I guarantee you will see results in your life and in how you pick friends that are close. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to defeat death and die on the cross. And he wants to reach out to us. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Your word states that. You laid down your life for us. I ask this morning that we will be better friends, that we will figure out what's going on in our own lives and where we need to improve on being a better friend. Let us not be taken advantage of, and let us not take advantage of others. Let us be that good friend that helps others. But let us also have someone that we can confide in and that's safe. Send those people our way. We thank you for your word. Let us ponder on these thoughts of how to be a better friend this week and implement your word in our lives so that we can be a better person for you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. I hope you have a great week. God bless you. We will see you next week.